We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Semper Fi, Semper Friday, off and running here on the Friday edition of Sports Talk here on Memorial Day weekend. Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick here with you for the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, because LSU baseball is not going to start at 6:30 as projected, because the previous game, the 3 o'clock game, is in a rain delay and has been since about 3 o'clock. They got through a half inning, so we're going to be here till 8, that's for sure. You can pretty much bank on it. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Todd Manessis at Master Control. Deuce, overall, lots to unpack. In particular, we got our first opportunity to look at the Saints and OTAs yesterday. We'll get to that in a few moments. Also, what was your reaction last night to Todd Peterson? I mean, did you see that?
I did see it, and just interesting. I mean, he had probably taken some BP, like he said, but he didn't even hit in high school.
I know. It would be like, I tweeted this out yesterday, it would be the equivalent of, I think, an offensive lineman throwing a winning touchdown pass, right? All of a sudden, an offensive lineman has to play quarterback for whatever reason. I mean, he was a pitcher who hadn't hit since the eighth grade. He took batting practice in high school. And apparently, according to his high school coach, he had six at-bats his senior year. He was 0 for 6 with 4 strikeouts.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if I would go with an offensive lineman, but it would be something wild.
Right.
I mean, because you're talking about an elite pitcher who has to step in now and bat. And, I mean, we know, obviously, the results. And for him, he just stuck the bat out there, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I was sitting there watching with Bobby and Seth in the sports office, and I was joking with him. I was like, wouldn't it be funny if he just, like, ropes one to the gap or something? And then he does one down the line, bangs it off the wall. And I was like, are you serious? Like, that's one of those moments, Deuce, I don't know. You're a baseball historian, a sports historian in general. That's one of those moments, though, that goes down in LSU baseball
history. No doubt about
it. 20, 30 years from now, you're still talking about it. You're going. You remember Todd Peterson in the SEC tournament? It's that kind of moment.
Now, well, and what makes the moment even bigger is if they win it all as far as the SEC tournament. You know, not saying that they have to go and win in the national championship, but just for that moment, if you're able to complete the whole thing as far as winning the SEC tournament, that makes it even special. I mean, Coach Payton always used to talk about the Katrina game, or the reopening of the Dome. Yes, we understand it was a special moment, but people will remember it. But if you win the game, that's what tops it off.
Yeah.
So playing in it,
playing in it,
that's special, but did you win the game?
Yeah. LSU taking on Florida tonight after the conclusion of Ole Miss and Auburn, a rematch in that ballgame. They are currently in a rain delay in the first inning. We'll keep you updated as to a projected start time for LSU in Florida, a rematch again for LSU. Can they get over the Florida hump? Didn't last year in the College World Series Finals. Didn't earlier this week against Florida in the SEC tournament. Deuce, right now the resume for LSU, they came into the SEC tournament as a bubble team for the NCAA tournament.
They're squarely in.
They're in.
They're squarely in.
Regardless of what happens tonight.
Yeah, another team that was somewhat on the bubble a little bit was A&M. A&M is squarely in as well. And so when you talk about the tournament, I think the number is 10 for the SEC.
Could be 11.
Yeah, there's an outside shot at 11 teams, but I think that you'll definitely get 10 teams in. And, you know, right now it's looking like that you'll have four of them hosting as far as possible national 8 seed.
Yeah, four SEC teams projected as a top 8 national seed. That means they would host a regional and potentially host a super regional if they get by the regional. Roland on a cell phone. What's going on, Roland? You're on WWL. Hey, Roland.
I got a question. Have any one of you guys ever seen a triple play made by a center fielder?
Have ever seen a triple play made by a center fielder? No.
Correct.
No.
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you. It happened with one of my Little League ball players many years ago.
Okay. I thought you had an LSU baseball question.
Pardon me? No, it's not LSU, no, but it's just a pretty good deal.
Okay, go ahead.
runners on first and second. The batter hit the ball directly behind the second base. My center fielder came running in and made a shoestring catch. Straightened up, touched the second base, and turned and tagged the guy coming from first. Unassisted triple play by center fielder.
Wow. Pretty impressive, pretty neat.
So the first, the guy on first, he was moving on contact.
Right.
Until he got over halfway to where he couldn't get back to first, correct?
No, he just kept running. He ran into him. He didn't see the ball. See the center fielder catch the ball. That's 11, 12-year-old I'm talking about.
I understand.
Look, in youth baseball, you got to expect the unexpected. I can tell you that from coaching it. And umpiring it, all the rules, you better know the rules because there's going to be some zany, wild play that happens in youth baseball. Roland, thanks for the phone call. We'll step away and come back tonight. Bobby Hebert coming up in a few moments. Scott Sanders will stop by at 5:35 to talk a little LSU in Florida, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Jay Vice, Second Harvest Food Bank, also will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. We're going to have the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, here in a few moments. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Who would you rather have coaching your team in college football, Urban Meyer or Nick Saban? That's our fun topic for Friday this afternoon. I'm taking Nick Saban. I don't care over any coach, dead or alive, I'm taking Nick Saban. Bear Bryant, I'm
Who
taking Nick Saban.
Who came up with those two coaches?
Me and Steve and Bobby. What other ones would you like to throw in there?
I would have liked a coach that's not even coach anymore. You know, you throw a Tom Osborne in there.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
I would have Bear Bryant. I think the era was too different for us. I mean, but I would have throw Tom Osborne in there. Throw Jimmy Johnson in there.
Jimmy Johnson, that's another one.
I mean, so those two guys there. I love Urban. I think he does an outstanding job. But when you talk about just matched up head-to-head with Saban, and I'm not talking about just one game. Let's make it a three-game series. I'd be interested to see what happens there.
Yeah, that would. That'd be fun. Like, we could play that game. Which coach, past or present, dead or alive, would you want coaching your college football team for one game? Or you want to do a series?
I would prefer a series. And look at throw Spurrier in there.
Steve Spurrier, yeah, back in the Florida days?
In the Florida days, the fun and gun.
Yeah. Hmm. Now it's interesting. Now you got all these great college coaches from the past. Jimmy Johnson's another name that's interesting. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, joining us now. And Bobby, we're just having some fun. If you could bring back any coach currently or in the past, dead or alive, to coach your college football team, who would you take?
Who I would be most entertained, or who I'd want to lead my team?
Lead your team.
Because I kind of like old school, because he was half crazy at the end, Woody Hayes.
Yeah.
You know, and now think about Woody Hayes did against Clemson. He was so competitive. I think the Clemson linebacker intercepted a pass, gets knocked out of bounds, and he swung
mm-hmm.
at him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to think Woody Hayes and Ohio State University, you know, their eyes are like Bear Bryant to Alabama.
Yeah.
But I remember witnessing that when I was young. Go, whoa! That is some crazy stuff right there. But to lead, to win a championship, and to lead, I guess my team. I mean, how can you not take? I don't know, college version Coach Saban, simply because what he's accomplished, and I would say Bill Belichick with the Patriots. Just because I say year in and year out how competitive their teams have been, and if they're not won the championship, they always in the hunt in the playoffs. So, but as far as character, I don't know why Woody Hayes came to mind, but he was definitely ground and pound, but that's what you did back in those days.
Bobby, we didn't get a chance to talk Saints OTAs yesterday. We had about a five-minute show after LSU's thrilling victory yesterday with Todd Peterson coming through. But who stood out to you yesterday at LSU? At Saints OTAs?
Well, you know, we always grasping for, like, highlights and plays. And, you know, you could come up with, like, a pass of the day, catch of the day, and that kind of thing, or a critical interception. First off, I thought Taysom Hill. Definitely, he looked legit. Taysom Hill, to me, like I said yesterday, looked like a quarterback. He didn't look like a special teams player trying to play quarterback or a great athlete trying to play quarterback. He had a beautiful pass. It had been about a 30, 35-yard gain. a guy that's probably not going to make the team, Eldridge Massington. He's that rookie out of UCLA. He was number 86. Now, he did beat Devontae Harris. I don't know what that's saying, but it'd have been about a 35-yard fade, Roger. It wasn't bad coverage, but he put the ball right there. And then the defense. I just have confidence, I think, this season that our defense will end up getting more interceptions. I know there was one interception that didn't count because I think Drew would have gotten sacked. But Drew was kind of throwing the ball away in the back of the end zone. And I told Deuce this, whether it was practice or a game, I don't know if I've ever seen that much speed to go get a ball in Patrick Robinson on the back end of the end zone when he tapped his feet in. Because Drew was definitely throwing it away, and P-Rob went get it. I mean, that he's played with a lot of confidence, obviously, coming off a Super Bowl with the Eagles. But that was impressive. I thought Cameron Moore, you know, the sixth-round pick out of Boston College, who I think he played corner safety, safety corner. I think they're working at him at corner right now. I mean, at safety, he ended up intercepting J.T. Barrett. Boy, that's the other thing, J.T. Barrett, I don't know, that's my first impression, seeing him up close. He looks little. He didn't look very big to me. And, you know, a lot of times you watch it on TV, you cannot tell. But and I thought also, you know, we worried about Mark Ingram not being there. And not even talking about Kamara, but just the other guys that are competing. I thought Jonathan Williams, the very first play they ran team, he had a nice cut, and the coach even told him, like, nice vision. That would have been about a 6-yard gain before even contact. And I thought both Boston Scott and Trey Edmonds, I don't remember seeing Trey Edmonds catch the ball as well as he did yesterday, the last year. I mean, one off his shoelaces, and then took off running, but they both look like they have ability to catch the ball where they're not struggling and fighting the football. So that was some of the first impressions that I got just from the OTAs and opening up. I thought Kurt Coleman, I tell you what, he forced Drew to throw the ball like wide out of bounds. He was too deep concept on defense. He had a good angle. He would have intercepted if Gruber tried to fit it in there. So I don't really think we're going to miss Kenny McCarroll, especially, you know, Kenny McCarroll being the veteran that he was. But now Von Bell's no longer a rookie. And then I obviously have to look at Marcus Williams. But Kurt Coleman, I think he's going to be a good addition. Ken Crawley. I think Ken Crawley's going to get better. He had a nice, it was on 7-on-7, good pass defense where he was all over the receiver. So the one thing what I'm encouraged by, I think the offense has a great chance to kind of be what we expect, but our defense could be better and not just be middle of the pack. But I could see them at one time, they got as high as number 8 last year, kind of hovering around there throughout the season, you know, 8, 9, or 10 in that range.
Bobby, and we didn't get to talk about it yesterday, but I want to get your opinion, and then I'll share it with Christian, my opinion on this. The new kickoff rule, give me your thoughts on that, because I think it changes how a roster is constructed. Coach Payton talked a little bit about it, but just going back and looking at it and studying a little different, I think it's going to change which guys make this team. You know, I think
right.
Just because of how guys have to be structured and what you can do, I think that's going to change some guys that have in the past have made this team, may not make it now because of the new kickoff rule.
Well, you're not going to have no big son of a gun leading the wedge. I think it's going to take away from bigger guys being on kickoff return simply because where they have to position, you know, on the football field. And I think they're trying to avoid that those kamikaze-type hits. But I think you see more tweeners, a guy that you might say, well, he's really too big to be like a safety, but he's too small to be a linebacker. But, boy, he's a great special teams guy. I can see on the back end those kind of guys making the team versus big old linemen. But I think now because of the separation, Deuce and Christian, you're also going to see the skill of a kicker maybe trying to have that pooch type kick, where kicking it to an open space. I think you will have more returns. You're going to have that divide evenly, my understanding, 5-on-5 on each side, the kicker. And then 8 of the players, the return players, have to be within 15 yards of the ball.
Hey, Bobby.
So there's going to be a lot of area right there. So I think you're going to see more kickoff returns.
We got to run, man. CBS News. Enjoy your weekend, all right?
All right. Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. Back after this here on WWL. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Ben on a cell phone and Marty and Metairie, sit tight, coming to you. If you want to jump in the conversation, feel free at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Are LSU fans rushing to judgment on Coach Ed Orgeron? It's our Pretty Mazda opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Also, Ole Miss and Auburn, top of the first inning, rain delayed, about an hour and a half now. So that's going to push back, obviously, the start time for LSU and Florida tonight. Once we get word as to a possible resumption of play for Ole Miss and Auburn, we'll be able to give you a better idea of when LSU will take on Florida tonight at the SEC tournament. When it airs, you'll hear it right here on WWL. Looking at the radar, Deuce, out in Hoover, and it is not pretty. It's a bunch of red, yellow, and green mess, just globs all over the place.
Well, and Florida's playing a doubleheader already today, correct?
Yes.
So if they cancel these next two games and push them to tomorrow, what happens then to that schedule? I mean, because you're going to have—
I don't even want to begin to think about it.
You're going to have two teams that possibly could play a doubleheader.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have two teams that are going to play. Yeah, they're going to have to play a doubleheader. And then on Sunday, you're going to have the same thing. You're going to have a mess.
What I have an issue with the SEC tournament is other conferences are in different— like, there's a conference that's in the Phillies complex in Florida, right? So they're playing two games at a time. I mean, you look at some of these games that are going on. They had to push Florida from last night to this morning because how late the games were running yesterday. But the SEC has to figure this out. These days, these games of ending at 2 o'clock in the morning are ridiculous. It's absurd.
That's back-to-back nights
as well.
It's
difficult to put a 19- or 20-year-old kid in situations like that. And in particular, the other point is the NCAA wants to talk about student-athletes. Student-athletes, I know school's over right now, but the bottom line is I just think it's— – you want to talk about taking advantage of a player— – or of a kid taking advantage of a quote-unquote student-athlete, the SEC has to figure this out. Other conferences play multiple games at a time. Why can't the SEC do it? I mean, it's inexcusable to me to think that you're going to have a 19- or 20-year-old kid playing baseball at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Not to mention your fan base doesn't really get to see you because most of them are going to be checked out by that, especially during the week. They're not sitting up, or if they're at the game, they're not going to sit around for that. It's just— – I just think that the SEC— – has a lot of egg on their face this week. And it's been this way for a couple of years.
Yeah, I was about to say, this isn't the first time that this has happened, though.
No, it's been this way for years. And they ignore it. They refuse to do anything about it. Play in the Superdome or in Atlanta Stadium. Move the SEC tournament.
Well,
doesn't solve the— – I get it in terms of the weather, but it doesn't solve how late these games are going.
Well,
extra innings and weather. And you're not playing games. You're not starting games till 10, 11 o'clock at night.
The other piece also is Hoover did some upgrades to that stadium because they were thinking about pulling it out of Hoover as far as over in Birmingham. But they were committed to it, and the SEC came back to that stadium. But, I mean, it's something that they've got to revisit.
Ben on a cell phone. What's going on, Ben? You're on WWL. Hey, Ben.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Just talking about the game tonight, my feelings are that being that our four reliable arm pitchers pitched this week, Hess pitched Tuesday, Hilliard Wednesday. LaBosse is actually nursing a sore shoulder, but he should be ready for next Friday in the regional. And Todd Peterson, well, everyone knows what he did last night, threw over 79 pitches. So I think that we should just kind of take it easy tonight. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter if we don't win the game. Just use our younger guys with limited experience. They need that experience, so let's give it to them tonight. Then go home, and everyone will be rested up for the more important game starting next Friday. So maybe more of a motivational game instead of a game that we have to win. So
but here's the deal, though, Ben. I mean, I get it. First off, LSU has always put a big emphasis on winning this tournament. All right, they always have. They've won 6 out of the last 10. And right. I don't know that that's Paul Menary's philosophy in terms of, hey, let's just be happy with where they are. And look, yes, they've done enough to get into the NCAA baseball tournament, but what if there's an outside chance that they win this tournament and perhaps all of a sudden they get a top 16 national seed and could be hosting a regional? That's what you have to— consider. That's an outside shot, but
yeah,
it's still possible.
It's pretty outside. I guess I was just being more realistic, but yeah, that would be great. That's really rolling the dice, I believe, but it could always happen. But I guess I'm just being, more realistic about that. And in terms of the guys that are have pitched so hard this week, and you know, just to try to rest them, just kind of like a theory after in the NFL too. You know, when they're already going to be in the playoffs and they kind of rest their guys. I guess it's the same type of theory, but
Ben,
I know what you mean.
Ben, I have a question right now. Where do you have this team, this LSU team? Where do you have them? Are they a two? Are they a three? Or an outside shot at a one seat?
I'm thinking more of a three.
Yeah, it could be a two. There'll be a two seed in a regional. Right now,
there'll be
a two seed.
Be a list of it. Hopefully, two. It would take quite a miracle. Of course, it did. It has happened in the past where we didn't think it was going to happen, like with the LSU football team some years ago when they ended up playing for the championship game, even because all these other teams lost and they got moved up all of a sudden. So I guess it can certainly happen, though. But I am impressed with what we're seeing there. They really worked last night. I mean, they got to be tired out.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the thing about it, what hurts, I think – actually, no, now that I'm thinking about it, thanks for the phone call, Ben. I think this rain delay helps LSU more because because Florida got up this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, potentially, you could be playing a game at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. There's some fatigue factor you have to factor in for the Gators, for sure.
At some point, yeah, you have to think about the fatigue factor for the Gators. I mean, just because they've been up all day getting ready to play.
Now, you can lounge around at the hotel. I get that and get off your feet and take a rest, but that still has an impact. Marty and Metairie, Mac and Metairie, you're up next. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Whenever I hear the name Jay Vice or think about Jay Vice, I always immediately think about our trip to Omaha for the College World Series a handful of years ago. That was some fun time. Jay Vice over at Second Harvest Food Bank. What's going on, man?
I'm very glad we talked to each other out of taking an RV on that trip. That would have been a...
Yeah, that was not a good idea at all. We were going to... Just to fill you in, Deuce, we were gonna have one of our clients that advertised on the station loan us a RV to make the trek out all the way out to Omaha, Nebraska, which is about a 14-hour drive in a regular car. And an RV, it probably would have took 20 hours.
Oh, man.
But finally, we got wise. We were like, nah, let's just rent a car. Let's just do that. We were going to stay in an RV park.
Yeah, and it seemed like a good idea on paper. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Jay Vice, Second Harvest Food Bank. And Jay, you got the Duck Derby, right?
Yeah, one of our biggest fundraisers of the year, and it's also a whole lot of fun, the Rubber Duck Derby. This year at City Park, June 2nd, so that's a week from tomorrow, I believe. Yep, week from tomorrow in City Park. Your $5 duck gets you an entry. If your duck crosses the finish line first, you win $5,000. You can win other prizes like two round-trip tickets to just about anywhere on Southwest Airlines, $500 gift certificate to Zapardo's, overnight stay at the Ritz-Carlton, and you and your honey can go to the New Orleans School of Cooking, which is pretty, pretty elegant. Raising Cane's for a year, whole lot of prizes, 10 of them in all. And you don't have to be present to win. It is coming up June 2nd, week from tomorrow, 4 p.m. at City Park. But it's a lot of fun. We'd love for you to come out if you get your duck and then come on out. The way they do it, too, Deuce, we drop 20,000 ducks out of a dump truck from River Parish Disposal, and they drop them in the lake, and then the fire department comes out and loans us their talents, and they use these fire hoses to blast the ducks across the lake to see who wins.
So I figured this out. So all you got to do is grease the fireman's hands a little bit, and hey, that's my duck. Make sure you take care of it.
Yeah, that's right. Except that the serial number's on the bottom.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. How are you going to follow it when?
Yeah, all right. So all right, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, mine's the little yellow one right there on the right. Yeah, get that one. But get your ducks. They're $5 a piece, or you can buy them in volume and get a discount. You can go to our website, no-hunger.org, no-hunger.org, or just anywhere around here. Just Google Second Harvest Food Bank. It'll take you to our website, and it is at the front of the website there. And, it's a lot of fun, but it's for a great cause. If we sell all of our ducks, this means we can provide more than 350,000 meals. That's how important this one day event is for us.
Jay Vice, Second Harvest Food Bank. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to the website. I'm going to buy $20 worth of ducks, and that's a good return on investment if you get that $5,000.
Indeed. Good luck, guys. Thank you so much for having us on again.
You bet. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Deuce. Thanks, Christian.
You bet. Marty and Metairie, Mac and Metairie, Sit tight. We'll step away and come back to your phone calls here on Sports Talk on WWL. All right, this is just in from the SECSports.com. Auburn and Ole Miss will resume their game at 5:15, top of the first inning. So you got a ways to go. Projected start time, if you want to do that for LSU, if this Ole Miss-Auburn game isn't affected again by rain, maybe 9 o'clock, 8:45, 9:30, in that range, roughly. Mac and Metairie, what's going on, Mac? You're on WWL.
How y'all doing today?
Good.
The SEC tournament is making the SEC West look pretty good because I don't know if you noticed that of the 16 left, five of them are from the LSU side of the bracket. Florida is the only one left from the SEC East. So it kind of tells you LSU played a pretty tough schedule in the SEC this year.
Yeah, well, LSU played the easiest SEC schedule. But, look, it does show you how tough this conference is. In particular, a team like Texas A&M, who was a bit of a bubble team coming in, and look what they're doing in the tournament. They are just ripping through people, ripping through teams, and even Auburn's having a pretty good run
Ole
as
Miss
well.
Too.
Ole Miss? Yeah, but Ole Miss is but they were expected. They're a projected top eight national seed.
All right, well, tell Seth he can take the night off. So,
Nah, we're not letting him have the night off. No, Seth's working tonight. I promise you that. I will make sure of that in some way, shape, or form.
All right, thanks, guys. That's all I got.
You bet. Marty in Metairie, what's going on, Marty? You're on WWL.
Hey, thanks, man. Can I go back for a minute to the coaches that I would want to coach my
sure.
team? Okay, let me tell you. When it comes to the college, there was a time when I would have had maybe three coaches that I could make arguments for. But right now, there's no question in my mind it would be Nick Saban. And let me tell you why. Not just because of his championships that he won. Really, that's not the main reason. It's because of this. Nick Saban did to a great Clemson team in their championship what LSU did not do to a great Alabama team in their championship. He had the sense to change a quarterback when he was in trouble. And he won the game.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, that wasn't one on a Hail Mary pass. That was one on a coaching decision in the biggest game of the year.
Marty, I can't argue with you, man. I mean, you're
on
the money.
Even if you are one of those guys that don't like him, I happen to not be one of those, you got to admire that part of it.
Oh, look, and, I've heard LSU fans say they don't like him because of the way he left LSU, et cetera. First off, he built that program, resurrected that program, and left it in good standing. Secondly, I promise you, in particular now, with Coach O down there in Baton Rouge, I promise you, if you asked LSU fans right now, would you take Nick Saban back? And even if you didn't like him, you'd learn to like him again real fast, and you'd say, yes, give me him as my head coach.
Well, I think it's more because of how it all unfolded more so than can he coach or can he not coach.
Right.
I think we all agree with that, you know. When he went into the NFL, how that game had changed so much from when he was back in Cleveland, you know, mid-80s, early 90s, when he was there in Cleveland, how free agency had taken over and, you know, just the control of the players, et cetera, things of that nature. He knew he had a better opportunity in college and something that he really enjoyed. And so it's been phenomenal to watch him.
Meade in Covington, what's going on, Meade? You're on WWL.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, I'd just like to offer my two cents about the SEC tournament, about how it's unfair to the players and to the fans in the seats, and also to us fans back at home watching on TV for these games to be so late. They just got to do something to make that better.
Meade, you know what it's going to take? You know what it's going to take for the SEC to get their head out of the sand? Watch one of these kids get injured, all right? Because fatigue, your body doesn't react the same way. So if it's a pretty big injury to one of these, especially one of the studs in the SEC, that's when they'll change their mind. Until then, they're going to continue to do it this way.
Well, look, you're right, and look, it's bad for fans, but it's worse for the players, and those are the ones I really care about.
Yeah, I feel for them too. Trust me, Meade. Thanks for the phone call. 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Coming up next hour, Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, will join us for LSU and Florida preview. Projected start time around 8:45 for LSU and Florida because of rain delay in the previous game, Ole Miss and Auburn. They are back underway in about 15 minutes. So we'll carry LSU when it happens here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.